The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
It's Sunday. This is Burning Down the House on HeritageRadioNetwork.com, and I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host on this Sunday, this dreary Brooklyn Sunday, 10th of April, 2011. Joining me today in studio is architect Matt Arnold, who has been researching the constellation of issues relating to licensure in the United States, and most notably the actions or inactions and functioning of the National Council of Architectural Registration Board. Also in studio is architect Jake Allspector. This is an all-architect, all-Cooper Union panel we have here. My God.
We're going to die.
We're going to just levitate right out of the garden of Roberta's Restaurant here at 261 Moore Street.
Well, thanks for having us tonight.
Thank you for joining us. Come a little closer. That's
happy
good
to be back here.
Now, Matt has been looking at the whole situation, and he has brought it to our attention that although the National Council of Architectural Registration Boards and your state jurisdiction, your state board of architectural licensing will suggest that it should take 3 years of apprenticeship or internship after you're having graduated with a professional degree, which is either a bachelor's of architecture or a master's of architecture degree, before you are able and qualified to sit for the architectural registration exam, the ARE. But Matt has discovered that, at least here in New York State, it's on an average of 11 years. And this is not unique. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of different states' ability to report and also what data that they have reported. But we're finding that it's 10, 12, 15 years. And that is troublesome for reasons that we'll get into. And a lot of us, just to kick this off, let us not fail to note that at the center, at the axle of all of this discussion, is the agency of the National Council, NCARB, as we often say. NCARB leaves a lot of us feeling like we've been enmeshed in a political system and we've been taken for a ride by a fairly corrupt political organization that I think none of us had in mind. Jack, let's just have a little 2 minutes of cream.
Thank you.
We're back. Yes, that was Politician. And a lot of us in the profession feel that we've been taken for a ride in a big black car by this agency that went from being a gatekeeper to being, it seems, making the rules. We've also been joined by architect Nick Agneta.
Hello.
Hey, Nick. Glad you can make it.
Thank you.
Matt, you have the floor.
Well, I don't know if we're being taken for a ride by NCARB, and that's because NCARB won't tell us what the results of their work have been. And I'd like to hear them tell us how terrific their system is and how well it's being administered and what its outcomes are, but I don't know what that is. I think we're entitled to the information as a matter of making policy.
Well, and, as I understand it, you wrote to all 54 jurisdictions and also to NCARB asking for data, and what was their response?
Well, you're talking about a couple years ago, maybe a year ago, I wrote to each state licensing board after NCARB had said they had no information for me.
And as regards
the length of internship, how many people were enrolled in it, how long it was taking folks to complete it, what students of which schools. I was hoping to get the information they collect from the little surveys that they give after the tests at Prometric. When you take an exam, there's a survey that says it asks you about where did you work and what have you been doing, how long have you been out, where did you go to school, what kind of degree do you have. And that information never sees the light of day.
Right. For the benefit of the people who are, shall we say, civilians who are listening to this program, you get a degree, you do your internship, you sit for the ARE, the Architect's Registration Exam, then you are an architect.
Right. Well, like, for example, this morning I was reading on LinkedIn, there's a discussion from somebody who says, you know, I don't know what to call myself. I've got 12 years of experience, but I've never passed the test. And can I call myself an architectural designer? I don't like being called an intern anymore. And as some of us say, well, then why don't you go pass
and take
the test?
Exactly.
But others say, well, you need to get yourself a new little title. Well, I think that if the process of internship, in other words, if you think of what is an intern, if that was working, you wouldn't have a question from somebody who says, I've been stuck in this Sargasso Sea of getting nowhere for 12 years. They would have gotten through it, or they would have abandoned it.
Well, in the old days, we used to call these people graduate architects. If we were being nice and we understood that eventually they'd get licensed. These days, there isn't a term other than sort of perpetual student.
Right. Well, the question that started me on this pilgrimage was, how long does internship last?
And why did that interest you?
I had an intern who I thought was really good. She reminded me of me when I was younger. She was interested, aggressive about learning, but she just wasn't interested in taking the test. She was afraid of it, or she was intimidated by it, or she didn't need it. And I remember in my day, you know, people love to hear about back in the day, but I didn't want to wait 30 seconds longer than I had to get through that.
Nor did you, Jake.
No, I did it pretty rapidly.
Nick, however, we know that Nick had
I waited 45 seconds.
Nick had to do music first.
But I understand there's an individual component. People make up their minds. Everybody's got different motivations. But when the system in those days, in 85, for example, I would say half of the people who got their license, did it in less than 5 years. And today, less than 5% of us are doing it in less than 5 years. More than half of us are taking more than 10 years.
Right.
So it's not really what you'd call an internship. It's more like an indentured servitude. And I mean, if I made a deal with you, I'll work for you for 3 years in exchange for this experience, and therefore I'll take a pay cut, and I'll be happy to do it. That sounds like a good deal. But if you change the terms so that I'm taking 12 years, I don't know that that's necessarily the same deal anymore.
Well, I don't know that it's necessary that once you get a license, you are actually going to be paid more by somebody else.
You have options.
Well, that's true. Once you are an architect, you can go and seek out your own commissions.
Correct.
Legally, that is. Yeah. So, I mean,
I think where Matthew and I have a difference in this argument is that it is my fundamental point of view is that the choice to become an architect is an individual's choice. And if people are choosing to delay that passage from internship or non-licensure to licensure is taking longer and longer. My argument with Matthew always is that our society is changing and people have more on their plate that they're managing on a day-to-day basis, so they're juggling more. So simple things are taking longer and longer.
Right, Nick.
And I don't find that people are any less intelligent, any less motivated, or any less qualified to perform the tasks of architecture. They now have so many other things that they do that it's just taking longer. And that's the, to me, that's the, what's the word for it? It's really the, well, it's where multitasking doesn't work. It makes simple things take a really long time. In the day, and I mean, we talk about this, we're like the dinosaurs in the room here, right? In the day, there were no other choices. In other words, you went to work and you had to, at lunch, you couldn't go online or you could either listen to the radio, read the newspaper, or leaf through graphic standards.
Well, Nick, I don't think people have... I don't bring an expectation that everybody's got to work to the minimum. But I do bring an expectation that our institutions need to be honest with us about what to expect. If I enroll in college and they say it takes 4 years to get through college, but it takes 8, I need to know that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unfair if people are being enrolled into an apprenticeship or internship program that they're expecting to take 3 or 4 years when, in fact, it's going to take 12 years. That's just...
But it can take 3 or 4 years.
But you know what?
They're choosing not...
It seems to be really rare.
I mean, I agree with you, Nick, but I also think there are many paths to being an architect. I think that's always been true. It's only been, the last, I don't know, maybe not even 100 years. Do you know this? That there was a licensure requirement, even.
Right, that's a 20th century thing.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, also, the term intern...
We get to pay tax.
...didn't show up in the language until the late 1800s. It was not a word.
Apprenticeship, yeah.
Yeah, there was not a word called intern.
There must have been an apprenticeship. It was a word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like
that.
Well,
if you're right, Nick, then you
like
should
trades.
Be...
They all.
Yeah, you should be support my request, this concerning licensure request, that ask NCARB to put the information out there. Give us the data. Let us know what's going on.
Matthew, I am 100% in support of your request. I think you're absolutely correct. And I don't believe that NCARB even looked at their data to know that it's taking people a long time.
That's what I think. I think that's... Probably, and who knows what it is, but getting the statistics is a whole thing. If someone were to ask me what my last 10 projects cost, it would take me some time to scramble to get that stuff mm-hmm. together.
That's a whole other topic of discussion. We'll get to eventually.
Why don't you have these statistics?
Yes,
you
but NCARB is instituted theoretically...
To keep records, its primary mission is to keep these records.
Yes, and
I'm just talking from a pragmatic standpoint. You're never going to get this. You're going to have to go get it yourself.
They're supposed to be our friend. I feel some more music coming on. If we could have the next track, that would be sublime. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
was the divine Lucinda Williams with Bob Dylan's Positively 4th Street. They have a lot of nerve saying that they're our friends. I mean, you know, one, they collect data. Two, they say they don't have the data. And three, they won't release it even though they know they have the data.
It's hard to say.
Or they don't look at the data.
I have to respectfully disagree with you, Nick, because...
You have to file a FOIA. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. But they're an NGO. They're not our government. I mean, who made these people the mafia of architectural information?
Well, you know, when NCARB was started, the NCARB was formed the same year as the League of Nations was formed.
No, come on.
Yes, the same exact year.
What, 1915 or something?
1919.
No, really?
Yeah.
It's that old.
So that, I mean, fundamentally it was a cultural movement. There was this you know, global thing where we're going to reunite all the nations of the world. They're going to start talking to each other. And NCARB, their mission, we're going to get all the states to have this other homogenous requirement for licensure for architecture. They started the same year.
The path to world domination and globalism.
NCARB took a little sidetrack, but that same year.
And look how well the League of Nations turned out.
Yes.
Or the United Nations, for that matter. Not exactly the pure and clean and simple solution to harmony between states.
Here's the problem I have. I don't understand why they're being so coy with the information. But the longer that they maintain this opacity, the less people will trust them. Because there's just no reason to... It's public information. It's made... it's created pursuant to the requirements of law.
So say the statistics were that what you fear they are. What's the upshot?
Well, there's two upshots I can see.
What's the significance of it for the
First of all, I think...
As opposed to the fact that you're curious and you really...
I'd like to
You know. Really want to know this stuff.
I would like...
I couldn't care less, but, since you're saying it, I'm just curious what you would do with that information.
I'm done. I have my license.
No,
I think that it would be very valuable to people who are contemplating getting into this. Mm-hmm. I think it would be nice to compare the performance of the graduates of the different schools. We're prevented from doing that now. We don't know what it is. Here's an interesting thing. If you look at the ARE, it's given in, there's seven components, and the passing rate for each component is in the 70% on average, okay? So 70% of the tests are passed. But if you look at the data by school, for every set of seven complete tests passed, there's a variation in the number of total tests attempted by the graduates of the schools. On average in the country, that number is 19. So if you have one pass in each department, the graduates of the average school in the United States took 19 exams to pass one, to pass a set of seven. Now that sounds a lot different than a test which has a 74% passing rate.
Take a test three times before you pass.
Correct. That's different from when they say the passing rate is 74%. Two completely different
things. The eventual pass rate.
No.
Or like any
the pass rate for schematics is 70%, and the mechanical systems is 72%, or whatever it is.
So there are 100 people take that exam. 70 of them pass it on that time that they took it.
Correct.
So a lot of people are...
We don't know how many times they took it to pass it.
But you have this data about 19 people took an exam so that
one full cycle
could be passed.
Right.
So some people are taking a lot of exams again and again and again and
or
again.
Or what I think is really going on is a lot of people are abandoning the process as they're... they're in the middle of it, and they're just stopping, and they're not pursuing it. So those tests go to waste.
Right, and then now there's the new NCARB requirement that you have to pass all seven within
busy,
5 years.
They get busy, and they can't complete the sequence, and so they lose all that credit.
Well, that's happening now, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean...
That seems silly.
And then people don't want to start.
The credit?
In other words, there's
no,
a lot.
No, I know. It's very cumbersome.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of resistance to starting.
So is your point, Matt, if you had your druthers, would we abolish NCARB?
No.
And no?
No, not at all.
Reform
I think,
it.
No, the point is...
Do you want to be president of NCARB?
We have these conversations.
I thought I would ask. No, I mean, I'll vote for you.
We have these conversations, and that we have them in the absence of the actual data of what's really happening.
Yeah.
And if we had the information, maybe everything's fine. We'll be great, and then we can be honest about it. But maybe it's not, and then we'll have a chance to kind of find some consensus. What should we fix if we're going to fix this? Because we'll know what's going on. But right now, it's like shooting in the dark, because you don't know what's going on. Everybody's got their little hobby horse.
Well, you know what I think's happening also, in addition to things Nick mentioned about, you know, the sort of sociocultural, you know, group that's...
Oh, you mean,
you know,
people having too much to do?
Yeah, just being totally overwhelmed and not being able to actually focus on any one thing linear at one point, because there's too many distractions.
Jake,
so you're
that's
juggling
crap.
Everything.
I think that's absolute crap.
I don't think so at all.
No, I think that, to me, that is the... At the top of the list, it's the distraction factor.
I have students, and I know them. Mm-hmm. I don't know about your kids, but, you know, you can see what happens. And this just happens to us. I mean, I'm more distracted than ever by stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the things that can distract us and come out of left field. And everything we have access to.
I think
if we pay attention to it all, that's very distracting.
Well, Matt, it's a big country, and you look at the different.
I want to do it all.
And you look at the different. You look at the different states. Are some states graduates or residents better able to pass the exam?
Well, I've only been able to see the data from three states: New York, Nebraska, and Oregon, and they're all pretty much the same. Oregon's a little bit lower, but the people
lower what?
It takes them 7 or 8 years rather than 9 to 11 years to get their license. Although most Oregon folks have the master's degree, which means they're a little bit older.
You know what else you got to do? I mean, these days you got to learn all this software and computer drafting stuff, which in my day I didn't have to learn any of that.
Yeah, you had to learn how to draw in your day.
Yeah, but you learned how to draw while you did it. And
well, they're learning how to use the tools.
Well,
in,
it's
in
a whole question
school.
Of the drawing versus
the knowing.
Computer. No, it's a whole other. That's a whole show.
That's a whole series.
Absolutely.
No, we have touched on that. The difference between knowing how to draw and knowing how to operate.
Well,
a software
no, just
program.
The visceral act of drawing, and I'm going to leave it there, is very different than the keyboard. However, you want to do it. Someday, I hope, and
Nick,
when the computer first came around, I said, I hope there could be a visceral way
stop,
to,
let Dr.
to
Nick
describe
speak.
Space. But,
no, I want to just, I was going to just veer a little bit from what Jake is saying.
Please go right ahead.
The other thing at the top of my list, for the reason why it's taking so long for people to pass the exam, is that it's the experience of taking the exam is fragmented. So, as usual, back in the day, there was a week in which everyone in the country had to take the exam at the same time.
So here you can take it anytime you want.
And so there was
go to a testing center.
You go
right?
to a testing center. So there was a momentum. Everybody talked about it. 2 or 3 months before
it's
the
true.
Exam,
we all got pumped up.
We all got pumped up.
Community, we're mm-hmm. going to pass it as a group.
Right.
And you know what that does? If they curve the exam, it really works.
If I don't know if they curved it or not, but everybody studied. Did you know this? You talked about it, and there was a momentum building
and
up to these exams.
And you shared. Resources.
Shared resources. Oh, people who passed it would talk to you about what was on the exam, and it became a culture leading up to taking that exam.
Yeah.
It was a culture that said,
do they have that?
You're going to do school.
No.
You're going to take
we
the exams that you can take when
here.
As soon as you graduate, and then you'll work in practice, and then you'll take the professional practice exams at the very end of that. That seems to be gone.
Yeah, that's gone. Now you have to sign up for a section, and you can take it at any time, and there's no rhythm to study, test, rest. Study, test, rest. You just have to take a section. If you don't pass it, it's very disheartening, because now you're going to study for that section again. And most people will want to get past one section to get past the other section.
So
to get
should
past
there
the
be
other
more
section.
Years? Should you have 10 years to complete a sequence?
I think they should just do what they had done
Wouldn't that do the trick?
Originally, they should set up...
I mean, if you can pass a sequence and you're an active practicing architect, we all know that you should be competent. You know what you're doing, and you hopefully are going to do it right.
I think they should make, when you sign up for the exam, you have to take the entire exam, start to finish. So you sign up for a 3 or 4 day sequence where you go in there and you take all the tests.
Talk about old timey, man.
Oh boy! Yeah. And then
I
as
had to
it,
do that twice.
As
I had
you,
to do it when I got out of school, and then 3 years later, the equivalency and the professional.
And as you're passing,
did you guys do that too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before we finish, I just want to.
Yeah.
They changed it a few times.
Finish. We still have a half an hour to go.
We were able to take it right out of school, and then...
He wants to get...
He's got more than he wants to talk about.
Can we call up the NCIRB right now?
You know, but let's get back to what... Well, let's get...
Curtis, did you ask NCARB to come down and talk with us?
No, absolutely not. I don't have time for that.
Wait, there's somebody wearing an NCARB uniform.
No, I mean, it's a big country. Look, it's a big country, and Matt's done a good job collecting data. But next, you know, we did want to talk about the ARE. We did want to talk about what we can do as representatives of the profession to be a little bit more proactive in terms of being guardians of a culture. Jack, if we could have track 4, please, that would be grand. You can tell it. That was the Talking Heads during their CBGB years, because there are a lot of places I wouldn't live if you paid me to. But look, the data from all over the country seems to indicate, and by the way, we're here with Matt Arnold, architect, who's done research on the whole world of licensure, the Architectural Registration Exam, Nick Agneta, Jake Allspector, and I'm Curtis B. Wayne. We're all architects, we're all Cooper guys. Oh my God. That we're not throwing punches already is
so. When you were out of the room, blessing. When you were on the break,
you all decided to.
We decided you Matt's going to just come to the point.
The point I have is, I think that's that no the fun. Performance of the system is so bad that, for example, in New York,
no. You said you were going
to
come to the point.
I'll get to it.
He's coming.
No, for example, in New York,
Nick, help me out here.
I'm going to give him a minute.
In New York, you can get an accredited degree, take a minimum of 3 years or do your IDP, and then you can take the test.
credit the degree is 5 years or 3 years, right, as we said before.
Or if you don't, if you just graduate from high school, you can do a 12-year experience in lieu of education
in New York State.
In New York State, and pass the, and then take the test. And
how many other states are there left?
I don't think
there
are too many.
Maybe like four to six or something.
A handful.
Now, here's the fact: in New York, the people with the accredited degree, their internships are taken on average 12 years. Now, if that's the case, I don't understand the need for the degree. If it's And furthermore...
Whoa. That's a big leap. Why?
It takes just as long with a high school kid. In fact...
No, but the quality of what you're doing is different.
That's nothing to do with having a license.
Yeah, and there's
I just want to say it's a different process.
Different process, and there's one other...
And we could argue endlessly over it, but I think there's room in society for all these kinds
of
routes.
But Matt's point of view gets back to Jeremy Bentham and social utility. What you're saying from a point of view of social or economic utility
in
is
terms of
why
outcomes,
blow $100,000 for a degree and then spend another 12 years when you could have been working, making a little bit of money and
save yourself the 5 years.
Theoretically learning the same stuff.
Correct. No,
and you're right, and I tell my students that, and they always opt to do this route.
It's fine.
Let me just add one other thing.
Because
if you
can't
wanted reciprocity, you can't.
Sure.
You can't get it with the 12-year experience.
All fine.
Just one of
all fine.
The is point that true?
Is,
yes.
Yeah, the other states require that degree.
Other states won't require
it. But my point is, there's no correlation to improved performance from the degree that I can see in the numbers in terms of licensure. Secondly,
yeah, but what kind of criteria is that?
Well, yeah,
passing
it's
an
the
exam
only reason
is, no,
for
some
the
people,
exam.
You've got to correct for all these things. I mean, come on. You got to correct for exams, the design of the exams. You got to correct for all these other factors if you want to get equivalent data out of it.
Matthew has a statistic here in his white paper. First of all, you're going to give the URL for your
The paper.
Your paper concerning
and
licensure.
All the data behind it and all the charts and graphs and circles and arrows on the back with directions and so forth is at www.tinyurl.com/concerning licensure, and there's a capital C and a capital L in concerning licensure. You can take a look at everything that's there. If you agree with me that we need to have honesty, I really want to urge you to write to your state board, write to NCARB, get in touch with your AIA people, and tell them this is an important issue. Change can only come if the state boards require it.
Well, one of the statistics that you came up with is that more than 20% of the total today in New York State
are using an alternate path.
Right.
Now, they have a foreign degree or they have...
Yeah, that could be highly skewed by foreign degrees.
Sure, and it could be that New York is attracting them because it's one of the few places where they can get a license. Right. Nevertheless,
it's
20% of the total.
Come on, let's face it. If you're going to go across the Atlantic to do a project, you want to do it in New York. And it's likely it will be in New York because the cosmopolitan nature, the culture, and the economy and everything else.
So, right? So, but for 20% of the people...
Or LA or Chicago.
Yeah, but come on, Jake. How many foreign architects come here and do not join venture with someone like you or Nick or me in a New York project?
They do.
And they get a license.
But that doesn't
and they seal,
stop them. But that doesn't stop them from deciding
that they want a license.
I'm going to be here. I'm going to establish an office, and my local guys are going to get licensed here, because they're going to pick up work because they met their significant others here in New York.
But I don't.
And having a good time working in the Big Apple.
Yeah, we've all lived in around New York all our lives, and I don't have any anecdotal evidence whatsoever to support that,
and neither do we with the report.
Who do we know who's a foreign architect who came and got a New York license?
I know a few people.
Raphael Vignoli.
He's from.
I
Argentina.
Want to get back to the
He's
thing
a bunch
that Jake
of
was
colleagues
trying.
That I have at City College who are all licensed who are all foreigners.
My point is, we're
a rough group up there.
When we were involved in internship, it was simply a clock that started when you graduated and it ended in 3 years, and then you were allowed to take the test. Today, they have introduced all kinds of quality standards on the type of time you spend. But no one is accountable for that. No one has promised anyone they're going to get it. And it's taking four times as long as, in other words, for every...
So what do you think of the IDP process?
I think
process?
That IDP...
Come on out
if you, if you, I'd like to see the numbers, because I think that if we see the real numbers, we will realize that IDP is a complete waste of time. NCARB is recently allowing or recommending that people be allowed to take more and more of the exam fresh out of school.
We didn't have a ID. I didn't have an IDP thing.
Yeah, you had to do a certain amount of time.
We had to get rec letters from people we
worked for. Was a form, and you said here, sign it. Yeah.
I don't think there's a correlation.
And they do that with the IDP. That's what I get asked to do. And so it formalizes a way to do it. So I do it for all my employees. My students sometimes ask me about it and stuff.
I think that less... I mean, honestly, if you would ask people, the information in the IDP files of NCARB, how accurate is it? How close is it to reality? I don't think too many people who have successfully navigated it would maintain that there's even... half of it is right, really right, true.
I'll tell you the other reason it takes so long. I think people also are not as anxious to necessarily, or in the position to do work as an individual. That especially in places like New York, you get larger firms, or at least to start out. In the city, it's hard as an individual.
As an individual sole practitioner, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, unless you're like Nick and you grew up in a neighborhood and you know a lot of people.
No, but most people here, most of us, even the people who are sole practitioners now, started out working for firms.
Well, sure. Well,
that's what you have in the city, larger firms.
Oh, and a lot of small firms.
And a lot of small firms.
I think,
but you have a lot of larger firms.
The point that
the mass of employees tend to be mostly larger firms.
The point that I'm taking away from this so far is that, one, our graduates are just totally distracted by all sorts of other extraneous stuff in their lives, and they don't have the focus, and they don't have some might say, derogatorily, the lockstep cohort of graduate, we study together, we take the exam, it's all on your own, with all sorts of people picking at you. Jack, if we could have about, 45 seconds of the next track, it would be wonderful.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody
Well, so there is a need to escape a kind of a closed loop of nobody ever getting anything done. It wasn't exactly the musical transition that I had in mind, but that's okay. The jury seems to feel that Mr. Arnold has not quite yet made his point.
Yeah, we were hoping Matt would say, IDP should be eliminated, it's a failure. Am I putting words in your mouth?
I think the numbers will show it if they will release them, and I think that's why they won't release them, because they know what's going on.
Now, I do believe, starting October 1st...
what's their interest in not releasing them? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, you got me.
I think it's embarrassing. About a year ago, there was a panel discussion at Center for Architecture at the AIA here in New York on LaGuardia Place, and the young guy who was in charge of the IDP program
from NCARB was there, and he happily, without a sense of irony whatsoever, reported that it only took him 11 years from graduation to being mm-hmm. licensed. So they know the data. He knows the data. He thought he was doing pretty well. Only 11 years. So they don't see that there's something that's broken that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, but you haven't... You're just... But
from an institutional point of view, that makes perfect sense
conclusion
for NCARB because
they know it's wrong
because they're collecting fees. Yeah. No, NCARB's become this NGO that's got a stranglehold on us. If I'm licensed in one state and I want reciprocity in another state, the chances are that other state, supposing for economic purposes, I have to move from one part of the country to another and I want to have a license. The place that I'm moving to most likely will say, present your NCARB file and fine, you're in. Well, what if I hadn't been able to afford to keep up my NCARB file mm-hmm. for a few years? I got to pony up the entire back fees to mm-hmm. get back in. What if I'm moving for an economic reason and NCARB wants $3,000 or $4,000 just to reinstate my freaking paperwork? Well, that's wrong. Suddenly, they are making the rules. We, the architects, are not making the rules. This NGO subject to any sort of review by any other power other than the state boards is having a stranglehold on our economic lifeblood.
Moreover, they have a stranglehold on the future generation, and they're not treating them with honesty.
Who I hear are really... quite depressed at the cost of all of this, at the aggravation of having to have this file, and the annual fees just to have a record that's just sitting in a computer someplace. So it's all quite contributory to this delay in getting it done.
You said it well.
Thank you, Curtis.
So, well, now, some of us like to talk about the free market. And in a free market economy, if there's an exam and you could pass it or not pass it, who cares how much time it took you to be able to pass it?
NCARB seems to be coming around to that point of view. Yeah, more and more of the tests they're letting you take when you get out of school.
They're even letting people begin IDP right out of high school.
No.
Yes. I was about to say that. October 1st, 2010.
I think that's totally correct.
It's correct.
In fact, not only that, IDP should count for more, because having that when you start your education is key, mm-hmm. I think. Because as we were talking about before the program, architecture is a practice-based profession, not a theoretical profession, not an intellectual
profession. So you're totally in favor of just why bother go to school?
I think it should be an alternative. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We should maintain it.
NCARB
should maintain it. There should be a way to assess people who haven't gone, you know, the difference between those people.
Well, now you're suggesting
you don't need
to. But now you're suggesting that NCARB take on even more authority and somehow step over the boundaries of the NAAB, the people who determine which architectural programs are valid or not.
It's a state-by-state licensure. It's state-by-state. And the state boards...
NCARB makes it easier for them to have a standard.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Like the League of Nations.
It's a standards organization. It's a, you know, somebody was upset about this very thing and decided the best way to do it is to create a bureaucracy, which I was reflecting on. You know, once you do that, we all know what comes along, and then there's all these things that can go a little haywire.
Well, if the
self-perpetuation and self-protection and all.
All I'd like to see, Jake, is a little accountability from the bureaucracy for the outcome.
Yeah,
Matthew's been asking for it.
I have no power to get it.
I think we should give it to him.
Lenore Lucy lied straight to the state boards and said, we don't have that information.
This is in your...
So why would she...
Read that on the air. Because
but I'm trying to understand the motivation here. Why would someone want to hide this information?
That's where we're all puzzled about.
It
sounds like, and I have no knowledge of any of this really, but it sounds like it could also be incompetence. Knowing about big organizations and especially nonprofits... they can really get, you know, just kind of.
You know, my ears always glaze over when people say, well, in my experience, but I have to say, in my experience, when a large organization cops to being inept, what it is, it's corrupt.
You should. I don't want to read this.
I don't want to choose between them being inept or corrupt. I want them to be competent, and that's all they have to do is produce the data.
Well, all right. Matt doesn't want to read, but I'll read. In March of 2010, Matt Arnold made an inquiry to each of the NCARB member boards requesting statistical information concerning duration of internship, complete pass and attempt rates for ARE examination, age distribution of licensed architects, legislation, and regulatory initiatives relating to internship licensure practice and title protection for architects. As a result of this inquiry, the following communication was provided by NCARB to the chairs of each board, from Lenore Lucy at ncarb.org to state board chairs, list suppressed, dated 30 March 2010. Hello, chairs. Recently, Mr. Matthew Arnold contacted our member board members requesting statistics on architectural licensing. Many of you called or wrote to ask why Mr. Arnold was asking and seeking our advice. That is to say, why Mr. Arnold was asking and seeking NCARB's advice on your response. NCARB is aware of Mr. Arnold's efforts to compile data. He also requested data from us, which we are unable to provide as we do not collect the specific information he is seeking. There's the law.
Now, the information I'm looking for is how many people are taking IDP? How many people are taking the test? Where did they go to school? When did they graduate? What degree did they have?
And of course they have that information because it's all on their IDP
record. It's all on the application.
That's absolutely. It's the exclusive content of their files.
Right.
So why would you say we don't collect it? I'm mystified.
I want to change the subject substantially here because we don't have all that much time left. But I think it's just as important, which is who's the moron who added to the ARE the requirement that community service, that is to say voluntary, unpaid,
200 hours,
unpaid, voluntary, community service. Now, in the world in which I live, if you are doing community service and you're not being paid, you're in with a class of offenders who've been sentenced to penal servitude. Either you get paid or you don't get paid. What they're asking is penal servitude, is the setup to be licensed as an architect, therefore requiring to do penance or an alternative to jail time. I don't get it.
No,
this is not the Boy Scouts. I don't need community service to get my Eagle Scout badge. I want to be an architect. Where did this come from?
I don't know, Curtis.
Where's the justification in law?
I think you guys should become members of NCIRB and get on the board and fix all this. Leave us alone, man. I mean, what are you...
You can't.
Don't change your subject, Jake. I mean, where is it that being qualified to protect the health and life safety of the public requires that you had to spend 200 hours pounding nails for example, Habitat for Humanity? I don't get that. I mean, they have gone from being a gatekeeper to making up rules that have nothing to do with our profession.
Well, right.
Yeah, it's a nice thing, but how does that establish that you're qualified? What if you had every other qualification, but you said, up yours, I'm not doing unpaid volunteer work because I got to support my family? What would happen then? You wouldn't get a license.
Correct.
Well, that's absolutely without merit. And therein lies a very large symptom of no one's paying attention to what NCARB's doing.
Some people are paying attention.
I know, you're paying attention.
And NCARB is paying attention, too. In the context of the circumstances, they've been making a huge effort to connect with the schools. They've been making a huge effort to get IDP coordinators set up in every state. They've been adjusting and tweaking their regulations to make it easier to take more of the tests sooner. All these behaviors that they're having.
So where's NCARB in D.C.,
indicate,
right,
Matt? Yeah, indicate to me that they're completely aware and they don't want the situation to stay as bad as it.
No, I think they're just trying. I think they're just trying to protect their fee, their income stream. I mean, look, they've become a self-perpetuating NGO.
Unless you don't agree with its mission, you think NCARB should be abolished. It's another matter.
No, the only members of NCARB are the state boards.
Otherwise, you should get on the board and do it. I mean,
I'm
because
not on the
my
state
experience
board.
With these kinds of you know, committee-based, you know, voluntary sort of part-time organizations.
Well, there's nobody who's voluntary on the New York State Board, is there?
I don't know if they're full-time. I think these are voluntary positions, honorary. They're staff people. But
the only oversight to NCARB are the individual constituent state boards.
But
Jake.
Yeah.
Curtis has the recipe. We have each jurisdiction. In each jurisdiction, you got to go to your state,
right,
and tell them, because they're the trustees of NCARB, and say this needs to be fixed, and we want you to fix it because you're representing us, and right, that's really their role.
Or you somehow find your way onto a management or advisory position at NCARB,
and make your voice
heard.
Oh, right. Sure.
None of us is going to be in that.
A straw man dummy to send up for
that's
it.
That's very risky. You can be terminated at a moment's notice.
Well, yes. And right, if we really talk about things, none of you are going to be able to leave this room alive.
I just think our institutions should be honest. And I think they should be transparent. And I don't see how either of those things can be challenged as being negative in any way. And if they're afraid of anything, if they're afraid of the truth, that's really not my problem. So if you agree that they should be more transparent,
yeah, Matthew, well,
communicate it to the folks at your state.
We're 100% behind you, and you're correct. I think that there are just some discussions about, is IDP effective? Do we really need it anymore? Can we simplify it? It seems to be the consensus of this room. It needs to be simplified, if not completely erased. Has all the changes to IDP and the ARE been effective? Based on your research, no, absolutely not. It's taking much too long to get people licensed.
Each one seems to have the same effect, that it perpetuates internship.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's a violation of a violation of a contract to sign somebody up for a 3-year internship and then to say, oh, but it has to have this in it. Oh, and did we forget to mention that?
But wait, you
forgot to tell us, so you lose your credit for those 6 months.
But Matt, they could take 3 years and do it. And everybody in this room has virtually done that, from what I understand, right? So, but they choose not to. That's all. Statistically,
they don't have.
I took 5.
They don't have.
But you don't. Intern, you're not taking 9, 11,
Jake,
or whatever.
If you go to dental school.
So I'm just saying, and I'm going back to your point, Nick, which I agree. I just think it's not. If the mass of architects are in bigger places, and the mass of architects work for massive firms, they're not interested in getting a license because they're doing their thing. And they don't need the license. But if you're out in the middle of Iowa, you need your license so you could start making bread and butter. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to look at your statistical base. I think you just can't use statistics. It's a little disturbing about the way that the statistics, we don't know, we don't have to correct them, we don't know about the testing. It's all, you got to really be careful about that and drawing conclusions.
Right. You're right.
So I think,
we need more. We need the data so we could look at it.
Fellas, before we wrap it up, we're just going to take a little bit of a housekeeping break, and then we'll come back in a minute or so.
Right.
Thanks. Hold your thoughts.
Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of 6 provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the 6 features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market.
Super. This has been Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, here with Matthew Arnold, architect, Jake Allspector, architect, Nick Agneta, architect, talking about all things related to design, architecture, and in this case, licensing of architects. And our discontents with the status quo, especially with the status quo as promulgated by the National Council of Architectural Registration Boards.
I'd like to see NCARB come out with a great big defense of their what they've been doing, that's full of the statistics and data that shows that the performance is according to what it was designed to do.
Well, it's certainly not
the advertising.
It's not the 3-year apprenticeship that is being told to entering students that they have to look forward to. And in fact, we're finding that it's 10, 11, 12, 15 years after a degree before that next year's cohort is going to be licensed.
Here's the deal. In California, they have more licensed architects over the age of 70 than under the age of 40.
Whoa. Whoa. And those, yeah, so...
That's true.
More than half are over 70?
More are over 70 than under 40 licensed.
So it's under 40, 40 to 70, and 70 and older. So what's the distribution?
It's in the appendix, one of the appendixes, Curtis. So there's like 400 pages
so
of appendix.
There is a, so what report. You're saying, what I'm understanding is that, one, there are very few entering architects, and two, that...
They're all leaving.
Equivalent yeah. number over 70. Well, they're five to 10 years away from just simply being unable to practice any longer.
Correct.
So there's a great job opportunity for the 40 to 70-year-olds who happen to be architects in California.
As a group, architects are not expanding as large, as fast as the population of the country. We are dwindling away.
Well, no shit. There
Look,
are.
I've worked with lots of architects, 15, 20, maybe more experience. And you couldn't distinguish them from anyone else that you or I work with and respect. And
15 or 20.
Project managers.
15 or 20
And they
what?
Don't
yes.
have licenses.
Oh, yes.
They just never bothered. Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't need it. So you got, I keep maintaining, you got to watch your statistics. I don't want to get all bent out.
Well, there are
of
only 106,000 licensed architects in the United States. So we have 350 million. 105,000 of us are really architects by extension. How many people are in the architectural business? Half a million?
I thought you wanted to rail about all those stars who are not architects. And
I've done
that.
I've been there, done that. You know, and none of them, not one of them, has risen to the bait to defend themselves.
They
so
can.
Obviously they have nothing to lose, you know?
But, you know, the people who work for them
have a lot to lose.
Have a lot to lose. The New York State will not recognize that experience and allow them to become architects.
That's right.
If you're working for a firm in which one of the principals is not a licensed architect, then New York State won't recognize your qualifications from NCARB.
Right, for having worked in that firm.
For having worked. Right, so you know, for New York State, you have to work for 3 years.
Well, you've signed these things for people, right?
No.
Never done any?
Well, I've signed the IDP forms as a
but
mentor.
But you've never...
No, but not...
not while working for somebody else.
Not for... Right.
Yeah, well... So our friends working away in the model shop at Richard Meyer's office or... working for Stephen Hull, who are working your way through. Make sure that your boss is licensed. Those of you working at DSNR should make a very careful inquiry into the terms of your employment, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just leaves me feeling kind of like...
Well,
like,
you know,
like,
what
like
my
scatterbrained.
Point was about
like,
to be that...
Everybody wants a
that,
piece of me.
That when people come to me to... authenticate and sign and, you know, that they've, you know, been under my care and under my training, supervision, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And I do that. It's really about an individual licensed architect certifying that the experience, and it doesn't have to be the principal. It can be a project manager or
sure.
project architect.
Yes.
And it's just a question of who's the one who...
Who's signing off.
Who's signing off, just like it is on a building.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for casting a happy
That's not happy.
Face
it's just
on,
the way it is, because
on
otherwise
the scatterbrained
be,
life.
You would be even more at mercy of your employers.
Mm-hmm.
This way, at least, you know, somebody who's in the trenches with you can sign off on you. I don't know your point, Curtis, so that's...
Well, my point was
I'm sort of like being
that if you worked for Liz Diller and you were project manager, you'd be happy to sign off for your interns, even though the firm is operating
well,
beyond
they were what
the
you,
license
Well,
was.
If you've ever signed these things, they say, has this person done X, Y, and Z under your supervision at these hours over this time period? and done these activities.
Sure, sure, sure.
And they list all the things,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And the seven categories or whatever they are with sure. the subcategories.
Yeah, I worked at a firm
and I've done this a lot.
Yeah,
and I'm very serious about it. I look
yes,
at it. I think about
it. Think,
if I think they're padding the hours, I say, did you really do this?
I
say, this is a serious thing.
I think it comes down to...
I can be held liable for this, I'm not going to sign off.
You know, I think it all
comes... So it has nothing to do with whether...
It comes down to... I think it comes down to whether the person who's signing actually has a legal right to be signing on behalf of the firm who employed
It's not
the
on
person.
Behalf of the firm.
It's
I'm
a supervisor.
Trying to tell you something.
When you start your
Curtis
IDP.
Has nothing to do with the firm. It
no.
has to do, as far as I know...
It's just one-on-one.
With apprenticeship, where you're working for someone in their direct supervision, and that person is certifying that you are competent in these things.
Yeah, okay. And you're identified as their supervisor in their
How
application
else would it be?
Part.
Otherwise, you would be totally beholden to someone yes. who doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be wrong. They wouldn't know that
I am,
if you are competent or not.
You know, guys, I am so glad that I have had a license now for 32 years and I don't have to go through this. Let's go out on a little Dylan. This is I'm just you know, my mind is blown.
Yeah, I was gonna go back to something that Jake was talking about.
You can come back to it. We can come back and revisit this again. This has been Burning Down the House.
Why don't we do the after
party? On HeritageRadioNetwork.com with Matt Arnold,
concerning
Nick Agneta, Jake Allspector. Yay! I'm Curtis B. Wayne. Keep the faith. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
I thought we could.
Listen to these three.